title is Living in the Privileged Time. Okay, good. Let's start. Before we go into the in-depth study of the last chapter of this book, let's do the quick summary. Who's going to do the summary for the book of Daniel? Just kidding. No, it's not a pop quiz. All right, first six chapters talks about it's more like a biographical and a historical portion of this book. It's regarding Daniel's life, captive lives in Babylon, the heathen nation. They were became a captive, and they were exiled to this heathen nation, and he was living in there. Now, after chapter 6, from chapter 7 to chapter 12, we find that it's a prophetical and theoretical study. This part, as we study the last chapter, we are going to reveal we're going to find that the tribulation period, in which the Jew is the one who is being persecuted, will be persecuted, but they will be comforted, they will be rescued by God Himself, because Jews are chosen people. We all know that. This Hezbollah, they are messing with the wrong people. Number one, they are God's chosen people. I don't care what the Arab people says. Number two, Jewish people are willing to retaliate anywhere, all the way down to the earth. Now, I read an article about Olmert? Is that how you pronounce it, Olmert? Prime Minister, or whatever that guy is. He was asked to resign by the many people, including soldiers, because the way he's managing the war is, in my opinion, is the worst kind of war that Israeli ever fought. They're just foot dragging. This guy is he's a kind of liberal person in Israel. If it was a conservative person in the prime minister position, this war would have been over long ago. Anyway, even though there is this ancient account that foretells that the Jewish people, the Jewish believers will vindicate and reward it by God, but the torment they are going to go through during the time of tribulation, especially the latter portion after the abomination of desolation, this will be horrible. So it will be hard for the people to accept, and especially Daniel to see it. As I said before, the first chapter six chapters is biographical and historical, and I forgot to put this on, I'm sorry. And this last six chapters is about the theological and the prophetical section. Now, this would be the fitting conclusion to find out how this Jewish people is going to go through in the end of Revelation, the great tribulation time. Remember, even though this book is written for the same kind of period of time, great tribulation, remember, the book of Daniel is mainly written for who? Written for who? Remember that when I introduced the book? Written for Jewish people. Book of Revelation is mainly written for Gentiles. Remember that? You don't remember that. It's okay. Chapter 12 concludes the vision of that began with chapter 10. It started from the river of the Tigris, and it started from there. It's altogether one vision. It's not a three separate vision as we see in the three different chapters. It's one vision. And now we are going to see that Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, with the two angels conversing back and forth. And we find that Daniel in the middle of that, and he is going to also ask questions. Now, remember this. This is the same prophecy a lot of people abuse. The reason is because they can pick and choose however they want to interpret. Remember the word exegesis and eisegesis that I told you about? Exegesis, E-X-G-E-S-I-S, exegesis, is the kind of study that we do. Expository study. Go from verse by verse, and then you go according to what the Bible says. Eisegesis, ISOGESIS, ISOGESIS, tend to pick and choose what you want to talk about. Topical study is usually using the study of ISOGESIS. Now, ISOGESIS, if you use it carefully within the context of the Word of God, it's great. However, a lot of times ISOGESIS end up building up to somebody's opinion. And then it stops there. And a lot of times it can be taken out of context. So we have to be careful with the ISOGESIS. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Are you there yet?
No.
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, but no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Note the word underline that, or memorize, I don't care what you do, just remember this, please. If you have an NIV, it says it does not belong to private interpretation. I like that rendition. For the prophecy never came by the will of man. Note that, please. It did not. Daniel just didn't get up, wake up in the morning. Oh, I think I'm going to write the chapter 10 or chapter 12. He didn't come up with that kind of thing. Or the Apostle John, is while he was in the Patmos, and he said, oh, I think I'm going to write a chapter 16 of the book of Revelation. It never came with a private interpretation, nor it came with the will of man, but it came by the Holy Spirit himself. So, for the prophecy never came in the will of man, but by the holy man of God spoke as they were moved by what? Whom? Holy Spirit. So all the prophecy is done by the Holy Spirit, so we cannot interpret the way we want, but we have to interpret the way God intended. Let's go back to the chapter 12 of Daniel, and we will pray. Heavenly Father, as we finish this book, glorious book, book of Daniel, we are asking you to open our heart to receive your wisdom, your guidance through this book. Timeline is the end time which where we are living. Lord, let us be attentive with what's going on. But most of all, let us be attentive with your word, your voice, that we may honor you in our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 12. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. At that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Note the word, few words here, please. At that time, Michael who, underline that, and the great prince who stand watch over the sons of his people. Now we find the job description here. And there shall be a time of trouble, underline that too, please. A time of trouble, such as it was never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, at that time, your people shall be delivered. Folks, Michael, this one is archangel that we find in Jude verse 9. Then he is the one in the dispute with Satan, the devil, over the body of Moses. And Archangel Michael is the one who rebuked him in the name of Jesus. Now this one, obviously, Michael the Archangel is associated with a spiritual battle. And he is often known as an Archangel. And he is the one who is opposite of Satan. Don't ever think that Satan has the same kinds of capability and stand against Jesus. Jesus is God. Satan is angel, created being. Jesus is creator. There is no comparison. So if there is anyone who is equal, that would be Satan versus Michael the Archangel. Don't ever forget it. please. Let's go to Jude verse 9. Jude is right before Revelation. Keep your finger in Daniel, please. Jude verse 9. If you found the second chapter in the Jude, you're in the wrong book. Let's go there. Jude verse 9. Almost that's chapter 9. Yet Michael the archangel, in the contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dare not bring against him in a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. In addition to that, as a spiritual warrior, he has a job description, as we just read in verse 1 of chapter 12 in Daniel, that he is the guardian, spiritual guardian of Israel. So he is the one who watches over Israeli people. Now, I ask you, underline another one, is the time of trouble. Time of trouble refers to the time of persecution against Israel during the Great Tribulation, all known as latter half of a tribulation. First 3.5 years, of course, Antichrist is cried out, peace, 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 even though the sky is falling. And from the second half, that device is the abomination of desolation, where he put his image in the holy temple and declared that he is God. That is abomination of desolation, as we studied before. From that moment until now, Antichrist kind of tried to pamper Israeli people. From that moment, he revealed his true color, and he has hatred toward this Israeli people and persecute this people. Let's go to the Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. You should go to the left side. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Now, while you're turning, I have a pop quiz for you. Let's go to chapter 30, verse 7. Are you there yet? Okay. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is time of, not the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. What is another name of Jacob? Pop quiz.
Israel.
Very good. Who said first?
Jack?
Okay. Jewish people gone through many difficult time of trouble. Of course, when they were faced the Babylonian attack, the capital city, Samaria, and Jerusalem was completely destroyed by the Babylonians. Right after that, and if that's not bad enough, and they are overwhelmed by the Antiochus Epiphanes, Syrian king. Remember, we studied about him. Antiochus Epiphanes, and he killed 80,000 people, men and women and children, in 168 B.C. Remember that? Any of you remember that? Okay, good. And then 70-80, Roman government sent a group of people, the General Titus, came in and destroyed the entire city again. Now, and then he scattered all the people around the world. Actually, God is the one who scattered everybody. Around the Dark Age, medieval time, Catholic Church is the one who initiated the persecution against Jewish people. And then, moving to the 20th century, we find the Nazi Holocaust. It's like almost like this nation is, somebody is trying to extinct the nation itself, and somebody trying to remove the race itself from the human history. Why is that they are going after, somebody's going after this nation so much? There is reason for it. Jews being always the target of Satan. Jews being always target of Satan. And he has a thought to destroy them because he knew that God has ordained to accomplish his purpose through this nation. For example, the seed of woman, who would that be? The seed of woman come through this nation, Jesus Christ. Through that seed of woman, mankind will be delivered. So, devil knew that. He knew the Bible, so he tried to destroy this nation. And he tried many times to destroy this nation of Israel in order to oppose the purpose of God. He still is doing it. Folks, the Hezbollah and the Iran and all these Arab nations, the Muslim attack, a terrorist attack, seems like it's a physical thing. It is not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing, spiritual warfare. These people are trying to destroy the nation of Israel. They have one purpose. Muslim people have one purpose. What do you know what the goal is? Erasing existence of Israel from the face of the earth. And they say that there's a religion of peace in pig's eyes. But no matter what kind of great attack these people hand out, God is the one who's going to preserve them, and God is the one who's going to rescue them at the end. That doesn't mean, note that word, let's go back to there. Everyone who is found written in the book will be saved. Okay, everyone. That means everyone who has a Jewish heritage will be saved? No, the one whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Who would that be? We'll go into them more. Let's go to the verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, not that, and some to shame and that everlasting contempt. Some think that this is the resurrection of the nation of Israel. In plain understanding, this is not about the resurrection of Israel, but the resurrection of body of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether that person is a Jew or Gentile. Once they come to know Jesus Christ, that person is the body of Jesus Christ. This is the resurrection. Now, the Bible clearly teaches us that there's a two kinds of a resurrection. One is a resurrection of the one who is saved in Christ Jesus. Another one is one who is saved by, not saved, the other one who is contempt and condemned and to die for eternal life. And if all of us understand this thing, it will change the direction forever. We don't understand what is eternal life is like. Let me make a good example. We all get in the airplane. Somehow we pass through the security gate. We get in the airplane and we fly. And if somebody tells us, the airplane pilot says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have an engine problem. This plane will go down." And they say to you, "Okay, you have a choice. I'm going to lower the airplane down to 15,000 feet, and then I'm going to open the hatch. I'm going to give you all, every one of you, with a parachute, so you can save yourself. Or you can just sit there, enjoy the this end of this movie." They've been told, just like this, the earth, captain told the people, entire people around the world, and the world is coming, this plane will crash. But people say, "No, I'm going to watch this movie. I like this what I'm seeing here." Even though they heard it, they choose not to follow the direction, instruction of the pilot. Folks, let's not think that we were some special people. We are saved by the grace of God. We were no different. 20 years ago, I was no different. And whatever the years you've been in the Lord. Many people have a wrong concept of hell. From the concept of this wild party place to the hard labor place operated by the demons. The true concept of hell, or to be exact, accurately, it should be lake of fire, is the place with utter isolation, complete and utter isolation from God, and from anyone. There won't be a big party. There won't be a drunken booze party. It's complete isolation with never-ending pain, extreme pain from the burning fire. That's the lake of fire. That's the eternal damnation the people is going to face. Let's go to John chapter 5, verse 29. John 5, verse 29. And come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and to those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So we know that clearly there's a two type of resurrection. One is for the resurrection of life. The other one is resurrection of contempt. Huh? 529? John chapter 5, verse 29. All right, let's go back to the verse 3 of chapter 12. Those who are wise shall shine like a brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like a stars forever and ever. This promise applied to all those who turn to the righteousness of God by faith and through the all ages. But in this case, in context, whom he's talking about? This is during the time of Revelation, and especially those who will be preserved by God. Revelation chapter 7. God will choose, even though nobody currently, nobody knows which tribe they belong to. If you're a Jewish person, you have no idea which tribe you belong to, but God does. He will choose 144,000 male Jewish people, virgin, and they will be the evangelists for the Jesus Christ during the time of tribulation. You find it in Revelation chapter 7. Back to the verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Daniel's prophecy was to be sealed and shut up, and not forever. It's supposed to be shut up and until the time of the end. Folks, in this last day, the seal is being removed. Now we find right in front of our very eyes the things happening. During the time of Daniel, the people could not understand. During the time of John Wycliffe, and during the time of Martin Luther, they couldn't understand what's going on. And then, even during the time before the 1948, they thought the one who's going to be removed was the church. The Israel. But now we find out the church has been gone during the rapture of time, and the one who was left behind will be the Israel remnant, 144,000. Now, we are living in the last age, end time. This is, in my opinion, one of the most exciting times. If somebody asked me, what kind of time period would you like to live? Would you like to live during the time of when Jesus walked around? You know, I would love to see Jesus in person. I would love to hear the voice of Jesus. I would love to hear how he sings psalms. Especially, I would love to be at the Garden of Gethsemane, standing next to him, watching him agonizing, even though I cannot do anything about it. I would love to see him on the cross and dying for my sin. But yet, I'd rather be here right this time. Because this is the end time. This is the time when God's going to call his people. As one of the hymns said, cloud will roll back, and with a shout of archangels and trumpet call of God, dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are in Christ will caught up with him, with them in the air. I think that will be the utmost and most, the climax of the church time. Many scholars disputed many, we just read, and let's go back to verse 4. Many shall learn to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. There's a group, camp says, well, this is about the prophecy. Many will go to and fro throughout the Bible verses, going back and forth, and the knowledge will increase. That means that we have a more understanding of prophecy. I agree with that. And another camp said that many will go to and fro in travel-wise. Literally, I mean, you guys remember that last year I went to see my mother for her deathbed and came back around the world in 13 hours. We go to and fro around the world. Of course, if you have, what's the SR-17? SR-71, you can go from the LA to the Washington, how many hours? 3.5 hours? Yeah. In short time. Yes, we go to and fro, and the information explosion. The majority of the pictures that you guys see on the project on the screen, do you know where I get them? Internet. I can get just about anything I want from the internet without leaving my home. Information explosion. So which camp is correct? I think both. Prophecy, knowledge of prophecy is increasing, as well as knowledge about them, what we can do. And as I said before, internet is Tower of Babel, in my opinion. Remember, Tower of Babel was not that tall to reach the sky. How tall is the first area of the sky, or heaven, known as the first heaven, just end of the orbit area? Several miles, 20 miles, something like that. Nobody can build that high. However, the idea of Tower of Babel is a human pride. Folks, internet is a human pride. When the people can talk to each other with one language, it will build a human pride. And it will be used by Antichrist to get to see the two witnesses being killed in Jerusalem, and they will be able to see Jesus coming back, second coming of Jesus Christ, through the internet. You watch. By the way, until now, it was not the box. It was not the... we have a programmer, so he understands that kind of thing. It was not the equipment that caused a problem to downloading the image. It was bandwidth. What's the bandwidth? For the audio portion, it's more than the text portion. When you download the image and the stuff from the internet, if it's just text, you can download it real fast. However, if you're trying to download the audio portion, it requires more bandwidth. If it's a video, you need a whole lot more bandwidth. Now, more and more, more people know how to compress that image so they don't have to take up so much bandwidth. When was the last time you guys get to see this, what's happening in the other side of the world over the internet? Stream live. You guys can see literally what's happening from through CNN or Fox News through the internet, streamlined news coming from Iraq or Afghanistan. Live, real time. It's common now. Just for the side note. That's for the gigs. Verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood the two others on this riverbank, and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, note that word, the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of this wonders be? That's one angel asking the one man with the linen. Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, and he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lived forever that it shall be a time, note that word, a time, t- times and half a time. Then the power of the holy people has been completely shattered. All these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, My Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Excuse me. Then he said, Go your way, Daniel, for you, the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do it wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And verse 12, Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Daniel is back to the riverbank, and now this is the same riverbank we studied in chapter 10, verse 4, for the vision. As I said before, this is one gigantic vision. Man clothed in the linen. Who would that be? That would be the, in my opinion, pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. The Old Testament human form, but not having the human body. Just having a human form for the people to see. Two questions was asked. One question was asked by the angel who was standing in the one side of the riverbank here in verse 6. And he asked how long this the tribulation time be for the Israeli people. And the second question was asked because Daniel could not understand in verse 8. When this will end? Of course, Jesus, who, in my opinion, that's Jesus pre-incarnate, Jesus said Israel's period for the chastisement will last for a time, times, and half time. Alright, time usually interpreted as a year, and times is a doubled. In Hebrew, the original Hebrew meaning is a double. So time, 1 year, times, 2 years. So how many years so far? 3 years. And half time, half year, 3.5 years. Now, remember this. How many days in Jewish calendar? 360, right? 360 days in 1 year. Instead of 365, that's a lunar calendar. So three and a half year times 360 days will come to the 1260 days. That's what we find in the book of Revelation, chapter 11 and chapter 12. 3.5 years of the great tribulation time, latter half of the tribulation time. But we just found out, we just read in verse 11, and 1,290 days. And another one in verse 12, 1,335 days. Okay, before we talk about that thing, let's talk about this. Pre-incarnate Jesus said that these people will go through a difficult time, time, times, and a half times, and that's a total in 3.5 years. And during this time, Antichrist will persecute the Israeli people more than ever before. Obviously Satan knows that his time is going to be end pretty soon, so he's taking a frustration of himself on these people. Now, the amazing thing about this is specific prophecy. 1290 days. So from the day of the abomination of desolation, you can mark the date, 1290 days, and so the end of the tribulation for this Jewish people it will happen. Now, let's go back to what we talked about. How are we going to explain 1260 days that mentioned in chapter 11 of the book of Revelation, and then verse 11, 1290 days, and verse 13, 1335 days? You ready for an answer? I don't know. I really don't know. There's several camps, several theologians say the different kind of things. In my opinion, this is one area that we are going to find out while we are in heaven after the rapture. While we are in heaven, we'll find out. This is going to happen on earth. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with the Jewish people who is going to go through, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they will survive, but they are the one who is going to survive through that. Why extra days? Why extra 45 days or even 75 days? I don't know. So many people can speculate, but you guys know my principle about interpreting the Bible. When the Bible is silent, I become silent. Let's go to verse 13. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest, and you will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. In the meantime, the angel, this pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, the one who is telling him that go back to your life, carry on, and be about your business. Don't be concerned about what's going to happen so much. I'd like to say this to all of us, all of you guys. Prophecy is good, but don't let it become a curiosity. Don't try to fulfill your curiosity and going after the prophecy so much that you lose what's going on. Okay? Prophecy is, remember what I said, prophecy is there to for us to live holy life and to spread the word of God to the other people, those who are not saved. People in Thessalonia during the first century AD, they got into this kind of thing. During that time, somebody said that Jesus Christ already came and we are living in during the time of tribulation. And so they all quit the job somebody said, well, the rapture is going to happen soon. So they all quit the job and they ran up the credit card and they did have the fun with the party and they were expecting God to come, Jesus to come. And they end up engaging in gossip and destroying the church. This is what Apostle Paul said in to the Thessalonians. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. But I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow, for if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad? Sorry. I'm reading 2 Corinthians. Duh, no wonder. Duh. 2 Thessalonians. It usually helps for me to go into the right book. Don't you think? Verse 1. Now, brethren, I'm in the right place. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in the mind or troubled, either by the Spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away that comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, and the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all, is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What would that be? Abomination of desolation. Unless the abomination of desolation, there won't be a day of Christ. What is the day of Christ? The day that God is Jesus coming back, the second coming of Jesus Christ. What's the difference between day of Christ and day of the Lord? Remember, we studied this. Any of you remember? Day of Christ is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Day of the Lord is the day of rapture. You guys all remember just testing me, right? Let's get the application number one. The more time we spend with God, the more teachable we become concerning Him. Number two, the more truth we discover about God, the more profound He becomes to us. Folks, I don't know about you, while I'm studying this book of Daniel, I got close to Him, and more than ever before, I know His existence. With this kind of prophecy, how He prophesied all these things before it even happened, not with this kind of accuracy. There's no other one who can come up with this kind of accuracy unless He is God. Third, the more we seek to maintain a biblical balance between looking forward to the future and making holy living in the present, the more we bring glory to God. Remember, prophecy, the main reason for the prophecy, to make a holy living. Okay? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word. We are excited about future, but mostly we are excited about what we're supposed to do tomorrow and to bring glory to You. Let us not grow weary in doing good things. In due time, we'll reap harvest if we don't quit. We're asking You to strengthen our heart, strengthen our feet, and strengthen our hands. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.